Hey, Joe. Can I ask you a question?
Absolutely. Mon frère.
It's a long one, so you've got to let me get to the end of the full question.
I can't promise that.
Before you answer.
I can't guarantee that.
Just try. Honestly, try. It's worth it.
I'll try. Okay.
Because, you know, I like to talk for a little bit. I like to flap my gums.
So just to be clear, you're going to ask me a question.
Yeah.
And I'm to wait to say anything until I think you've finished the question.
Not until you think. It'll be apparent. Okay?
Yeah, but you're not going to tell me you finished, are you? I'm going to have to think about it and decide.
I might
this
say.
This is when you finished.
I'll say I'm finished.
I think if you were to do that, you'd be eradicating all possibility of any spontaneous fun. So is that what you want? Do you want to eradicate the possibility of spontaneous fun?
No, it's fine. Let's see how it goes.
Okay.
I'm quite excited by this question.
So just to reiterate again, the stakes are I'm only to interrupt you when I believe you to have finished. Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, okay. I know what you're going to do now, but it's
fine. No. Off you go. No. 3, 2, 1, ask me a question.
So what is Chris Martin's favourite Korean film directed by Bong Joon-ho, starring Song Kang-ho, Lee Sun-kyun, Cho Ye-jeong, Choi Woo-shik, Park So-dam, Lee Jong-yun, Chang Hae-jin, Park Myung-hoon, Chung Ji-so, and Chung Hee-jun?
Is it Parasite?
No, it's Parasite. Whoa. Jesus Christ, mate. You deliberately, wonderfully fucked it. Is it Parasite? Yeah, it's Parasite. Thanks.
Adam is the host now. The dynamic works better when Adam is the host. Adam prefers to the host. And Joe prefers to the participant. It's better overall when Adam is the host, and Joe is the participant. Let it never be spoken of again. The ghost.
So anyway, hello. Welcome to the Movies You Forgot podcast with me, your host, Adam Richmond. This is the show where we talk about the movies or films which we forgot we'd even seen in the first place. And this is key. Before I introduce my co-host, This is key. This is the movies that we forgot. I know the show is called The Movies You Forgot.
Right.
But it's we've, you know. The title is directed at us.
Yeah.
And joining me as ever is my co-host, my best pal, the man who knows what's what, Mr. Joe Devine.
Hello there, where the bodies are buried.
He does.
Yeah.
On today's episode, we are doing probably, I'd say, one of the most culturally impactful films of its moment. It is, of course, 2019's Bong Joon-ho directed Parasite.
Parasite. Oh, Bong Joon-ho.
Scored by the musician Chris Martin. and here is the letterboxed. It's 133 mins. It's 133 mins. Act like you own the place. All unemployed. Key takes. And apologies if I mispronounce a lot of these Korean names. Ki-taek's family takes peculiar interest in the wealthy and glamorous parks, that's a family park, for their livelihood until they get entangled in an unexpected incident. Boo, letterboxed. That is appalling. It stars Song Kang-ho as the patriarch of the family.
Yeah, he's the guy whose face is on the poster.
Yeah, and he's probably the most recognisable actor, if you're familiar with films. He's in Memories of a Murder, also Bong Joon-ho.
If you're familiar with films.
And of course it's Bong Joon-ho, who is very familiar.
Yeah, if you're familiar with films. Yeah.
If you want to watch your key foreign movies,
yeah.
You'll know Park Chan-wook, Bong Joon-ho.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and that's what we're doing. I saw this in 2019. Haven't seen it since. What are we now?
We're 2026.
Yeah, so nearly 7 years on. I think we've been wanting to do this for a while.
It's certainly been on the list for a long time. There's been an acknowledgement between us that, for us at least, this is a forgotten film. My contention for the episode, and I'll let you continue, but I want to tease that my contention for the episode is that Parasite is a forgotten, in the process of forgetting, movie.
I hopped on the Discord earlier. Join the Discord, guys. Check out the show notes. It's where listener Johnny on the Discord, he follows me on Letterboxd, I believe, and I've watched Parasite. I've reviewed it on my Letterboxd at Error of Ways. And of course I've tagged it, Movies You Forgot, so people know. The people in the know that we're going to do Parasite.
What did Johnny say?
He didn't say anything. He posted a screenshot which said, bro, it basically referred to us calling this a Movies You Forgot. He said, bro error, calling out, let's bring it up. Let's do this properly.
I've got it. It says, bro error, saying Movies You Forgot about Parasite, a movie that literally everyone watched and loved. That's what Johnny Four says.
Well, it looks like it's a message between him and someone else. I read it as bro error, like it's a thing. Like,
oh, it's like bro error.
Yeah, this is a bro error. If you're a bro, you've made an error.
Wait, so if you're a cis, is it not an error?
No, it's a, well, maybe. I mean, I just immediately, my response was a lot, it was straining to be lighthearted, but I was so wound up by it. I've been thinking of nothing else. I've made a bro error, which heartens me because I don't want to be a fucking bro. But then also, I think, you know, Johnny's American and his friends are American, so that's just how they talk to each other. So no shade on Johnny.
They make bro errors, do you think?
But it was also just that the fundamental not getting of what the show is, because it doesn't matter if a film was loved at the time and everyone liked, right?
Sure. No, I agree. I mean, I think, listen, let me caveat. I believe that Parasite is not yet officially a movie you forgot. But I firmly believe that in 5, 10, if not 5 years' time, it fits the category perfectly. And I think there are a number of reasons for that, one or two of which are out of its control. Now, that's no shade on the quality of the film. We've had the discussion many times before that there are sometimes excellent, sometimes superb films that can fall into this category. I think Parasite is one of those films. And I'm happy to start making that argument whenever you'd like, Adam.
I want to do that too. But, you know, for example, the New York Times 100 Best Movies of the 21st Century list, it's number one of that.
Sure.
So I do think, I mean, I'm on your side.
I think that's kind of mad, personally.
So do I. I just think it's not only...
Did they publish that list in 2020? Is that why it's...
I think this was published pretty recently.
Right.
It was at least last year. So it's as recent as that.
Right.
I know why it's there.
Why?
It's not just the New York Times. I think a lot of people would have this as their best film of all time because it's about Credola and giving themselves, and they want to show off what they've seen. And it's like, oh, I haven't picked the obvious thing. I've picked the foreign movie.
Right.
But incidentally, I've also picked the foreign movie that everyone else has picked.
That won Best Oscar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's the safest, edgy pick that they can get. And
I would say also, can I add one reason to why I think they've chosen it?
Yeah.
Because if you've watched Parasite once, it's one of the best films you've ever seen. But as soon as you've watched Parasite twice, it's not in the top 10.
Right. Listen, okay. I reckon we should talk about this because this is the heart of it.
Yeah.
I watched Parasite in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the edge of my seat. I thought, this is great. I love Korean cinema. I love Old Boy. This is right in my wheelhouse.
Can you stop talking about your penis, though, and start talking about cinema, please? Because I'm a bit tired of you constantly with this sexual aggression, this weird energy you've got.
I like me Old Boy.
Leave Old Boy aside.
And, oh, it's about class. It's very dark. It's very dry. It's very funny. And the whole back end of it, wonderfully tense. It's all unraveling. Great.
Yeah.
Jump cut to 2 nights ago where I'm watching it. Zero tension. There's absolutely zero tension rewatching this movie.
Sure.
And not because it's a beautifully made movie, very well crafted, very well acted. I enjoyed watching it, but there's no tension watching it at all.
No.
Right?
No, I mean, you are right. There's a very limited tension. I would say I found myself, not long before the midway point, pausing it, popping to the loo, thinking, well, that hour really flew by. I sat down a little uncertain about rewatching it because it's a film I've never wanted to watch again. You know, I would say from the moment that it finished in the Greenwich Picture House in 2019, and I almost felt like clapping, I thought, wow, that's definitely the best film of the year. That's amazing. I can't wait to talk about that with all my friends, but definitely never watching that again. No interest. You know, it's almost a physical experience going through that the first time. So I was a little bit uncertain about it. Sat down today, watched it. Halfway through, I thought, this is flown by. This is very compelling viewing. I can't sort of take my eyes away from the screen, but not because of tension, just because it's like a very delicately, as you said, very well-crafted, well-made film. But the experience of watching it a second time is absolute. I mean, it's a shadow of the experience of watching it the first time. And call me crazy, but I think if a film is your number one film of the century, it needs to be rewatchable. And if it's not, or if its quality, you know, diminishes meaningfully on a rewatch, I don't think it can be number one film. So I get why it might live there. And as I said, the impact it had on me first time around was huge. But that takes significant points off it for me, rewatchability.
Absolutely. I think that is the number one criteria. I mean, it being a very good film is a given. Does it stand up to rewatch? Does it still have the same tension?
Casual rewatches as well, not just rewatch. Like, does it stand up to casual rewatch? That's crucial for your top five movies of all time. You can't, you know, the Seventh Seal isn't number one, right? Because who the fuck wants to sit down and watch that? Nobody wants to sit down and watch that. You watch it once or twice or maybe three times in your life and you go, wow, that's amazing. No one's relaxing with a cup of tea and a chocolate biscuit watching The Seventh Seal.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say even rewatching The Sixth Sense second time
around. The Sixth Seal? I didn't even know there was one.
Sixth. Even rewatching. Oh man, the phone. I was just about to get into it. Hello.
Hi there. I'm calling from the Ingmar Bergman Appreciation Society. Is that Adam Richmond?
Hi, yes it is.
Hi there. I was calling because someone wrote me a letter to tell me that there was some mention of, did I hear it correctly, The Sixth Seal on a movie podcast. It's a film I was previously unaware of. I thought I'd call the source directly and get more information.
It just came up in my findings when I was scouting about video shops.
And when was it released?
1977.
Oh, so 20 years after the original.
Yeah.
So it's a prequel made after the original.
Well, I mean, it depends how you view prequel because, you know, it's not... The Seventh Seal, I believe. I've not seen The Seventh Seal. It's not like numbers. It's not. I mean, what is even the seven? What is the seal in regard? Is it a seal like a wax seal?
I'd just love to know what you imagine it to be.
I imagine it's like a wax seal.
Like a wax seal.
Yeah. I imagine it's like, and there's seven of them. And then we've got to the seventh. I know Bill and Ted pop up at some point.
Right, don't be facetious now. I really want to know what you think it is.
Sorry. I just thought...
I didn't call you so you could take the piss out of me. I called you so I could find out more. I mean, I actually like Ingmar Bergman. I know I'm a bit disappointed to find out that the guy who's found The Sixth Seal hasn't even seen The Seventh Seal, but that's okay. Did you watch The Sixth Seal?
Well, of course. Of course I did, because I like to get in on the on the ground.
Okay. So you can have some idea about the seals then.
Well, I know they're wax seals. And not, yeah, again, I keep wanting to make facetious comments because obviously there's the animal, the seal, there's the singer,
yeah,
the seal, which I'm not going to rent, I'm not going to mention.
The Sixth Seal described in Revelation 6:12-17 signifies cataclysmic cosmic events, a great earthquake, the sun turning black, the moon to blood, stars falling. This is all preceding divine wrath and Jesus' return, causing world leaders and people to hide in terror, recognizing that the great day of wrath has come from God and the Lamb. You know?
Yeah. Or, as I like to call it, my wife coming home from work.
I am a golden god! I am a golden god!
Hey, Russell! Go!
But yeah, The Sixth Sense, even The Sixth Sense, when you rewatch The Sixth Sense,
yeah.
On the second viewing,
yeah,
it's richer because you've got a new understanding of, oh, hang on a sec, I'm going to watch this through new eyes. I'm not going to spoil the movie.
Yeah.
But it does.
That's right.
Parasite, there's maybe three moments of foreshadowing, I would say little jokes, where you go, oh, I know what that's a reference to. You know, there's the husband of the rich family makes a reference to the maid and says, oh, she eats a bit too much food. And then you go, yeah, I know why she eats too much food.
Yeah.
That's it, though. It's not in the same ballpark as the knowledge you get, the knowledge and the tension you get on the rewatch of The Sixth Sense.
Sure.
You know?
What are you going to do about that, eh?
I think this film is the most safely transgressive movie there is. It's so mainstream. It's the movie that the mainstream people who don't usually go to the cinema or watch interesting movies could watch and say they saw this and they get a little sticker in there. I saw a foreign movie sticker book. It pales in comparison to something like Old Boy or I Saw the Devil or Chaser, which, or even The Handmaiden, which is just, they're genuinely dark. There's nothing that dark in this movie at all. And it kind of wound me up. I was enjoying it and I was like, oh, it's so safe. I can't believe I was on the edge of my seat in 2019.
I don't want to lean in that much with you. I sort of agree that it doesn't survive a rewatch. And I think calling it, like, you know, not a jot on The Handmaiden is probably too far. It is a very good film.
I'm not saying it's not a jot on. I'm just in terms of how dark it is or transgressive.
Oh, I see. No, I mean, a lot of the darkness is false, right? And like, I mean, one of the achievements of the film is that it creates a lot of, on a first view, and creates a lot of tension and suspense and in some cases fear with very, very little, and where the consequences are actually relatively singular as well. So I think, for example, when the old housemaid arrives back at the house and is ringing the doorbell, and that whole scene where she comes in and she goes downstairs and we discover the cellar for the first time, she's terrifying in that scene. Like that actor... I don't know what she's doing. It scares the living crap out of me watching that. The reality is that she isn't a monster. She can't do anything which is really going to bring about, you know, very mortal consequences for the protagonists of the film. And yet I'm watching her and I'm afraid.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good fun. I don't know why I'm compelled to rag on it.
I know why. Do you want me to tell you why?
Tell me why I'm compelled to rag on it.
Oh, okay. So you know how when you were ragging, you were saying it's for normal, boring people who want to put a sticker in their I've seen a foreign film sticker book.
Did I say that?
Yeah, you did,
That sounds so harsh.
You've got a sticker book as well. And in your sticker book is various different categories. And there's one category in there. Well, there's actually two. One of them is called I'm Adam Richman. I've already seen foreign films, so I know what all of them are now and I don't need to watch any of them. That's my favourite one. I love that one. The other one.
Nine Mountains.
Anytime any ordinary people enjoy a foreign film, I won't like it because, you know, that's who I am.
That's not true. That's not my sticker book. I watched Parasite and really liked it.
I agree. I agree.
Is there a retrospective sticker book in there
that says I lean in a little too hard on my transgressive opinions because I've found in my life that that's how I get people to listen and pay attention to me.
No one listens to me.
Says a man on a podcast. Come on.
This conversation is, it's extra funny because no one has in my life spoken about Parasite ever. So I've never
had... That's because it's a forgotten movie, by the way.
It is. So I've not even had the opportunity to slag it off. As I wouldn't slag it off. I go, yeah, it's good movie.
Let's inspect your feelings though. How do you, when you slag it off, let's try this, okay? A little experiment for me and for the listener. Firstly, what I want you to do is slag it off. Just say something slaggy about it, okay? And then immediately afterwards, I want you to think about how you feel and tell me how you feel, okay? Are you ready to experiment?
Okay, I mean, I've said all that. My hot slagging's off.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, say something slaggy.
It's nowhere near as dark as it should be.
Oh, okay. Now, how do you feel? How do you feel?
Oh, I'm smiling. You can see. It's just...
You are a little titillated.
Oh, also, it's supposed to be about something. It's supposed to be... It's everyone's response to it is like, I guess it was so timely. It was such a timely movie.
Yeah.
And everyone, the way the narrative around it was like, finally.
Look at that. Look at that little circle, by the way. You say something slaggy and then you feel good and then you go like, oh, quick, let's get another slag in. Yeah,
this is not about the movie. It's about society,
of course,
and culture, and the critics who start going, this is about, oh, it's about something.
It's about poor people.
It's about poor people. It's about, oh, this is so timely.
This movie's about what will happen to society if we're not more careful and you don't do what I say.
Right, and this is what, this speaks to something. And when people watch this, they'll learn something about themselves.
Yeah, no, that's absolute nonsense. That's like my thing where I've said to you before on this podcast that every horror film is about one of those things. And Parasite, for me, is basically a horror film, whether it actually is or not. Like, it plays by the horror playbook. And its thing is that it's about inequality in society. Now, I don't know anywhere near enough about Korean society to know how accurate or finger on the pulse, that kind of metaphor would be. But I don't think the film's actually about that. I just think that that's the backdrop for the film, and that makes it more textured and feel more interesting. It makes it feel like it's about something, and it makes people say that it's about something. But is it actually about the thing? I don't think so.
So, Joe, how does that make you feel when you say yeah, something like that?
Like, I have a lot of authority. It also makes me feel guilty, and it makes me feel empty and hollow, like I'm just sort of part of the problem. You know, but then I think,
well, what's the,
hang on a second, no, man, you know, you can't, if you only ever said things that you were really, really certain about, you wouldn't say anything, because the more you know, the more you doubt. And now I feel like Aristotle, you know, but then I feel sort of guilt and shame for thinking I'm Aristotle. And then I think, no, I am Aristotle.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's interesting. It's a lot more like convoluted than how I feel.
No, I'm just more in touch with it.
Whoa.
Do you want to know one other reason why this is a movie you forgot?
Yeah, I think you teed it earlier on. You had like a number of reasons, but yeah, this, I want to hear this.
This is the big one for me. The really, really big one. What's that from? That's from Lord of the Rings, isn't it? A potato. A really, really big one. I don't know what it's from. Anyway.
Potatoes. Doesn't he say potatoes?
Boil them, mash them, stick them in a stew. Boil them, mash them, stick them in a stew. Remember that one? They're taking the hobbits to Isengard. Now, anyway, listen. This is the big one. A really, really big one. Okay? The film was released in 2019, wasn't it?
He's going to say something about culture or politics now.
And it would not.
I read the newspapers. Hello. Oh, I've been listening to This Is History and This Is Entertainment and reading The Guardian.
Man. You're just setting yourself up, right? It won Best Picture Oscar, or as I call Best Oscar, in February 2020. And then what happened a month later?
9/11?
No, not 9/11. COVID-11 happened.
Right.
COVID happened. And that means that everyone's brain went weird. Because you know how you think, I don't know about you, but I think, I go, oh, that was just the other day. And then I go, fuck, that was 7 years ago because of COVID. COVID kind of reset my brain, did weird things to my memory. And as far as I understand from talking to other people, it seems to have done a lot of weird things to people's memory culturally. My brain kind of stopped in 2020, you know, time stopped there. A bit like how you always, when you think about your parents, you always think about them as a certain age, don't you? Like if I were to say, what, you know, not how old is your mother now or your father, but how old are they in your child memory?
Like sort of mid 50s.
Really? That's quite old.
But then when you're a kid, you have no concept of age. So this is kid me thinking.
For me, my mother is 37 and my dad is 42.
Right, yeah.
And what was interesting is that they had a 7-year gap. So they were never those ages at the same time. But for some reason, my father froze and then my mother froze 2 years later. And that's how I thought of them for a long, long time.
You froze your parents?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like Walt Disney?
That's right. Because later I know from my lifestyle, I'm going to need organ transplants. And where better to get them than just out of the cryogen, you know? Those fresh, sweet, sweet organs from my frozen mid to late 30s, early 40s parents. They'll fit all snug
into my
80-year-old body,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Me, I'll be sort of doing a cockroach on my back thing, stealing all their kidneys. I'll be able to get through a lot of them without dialysis. Anyway, my point is, in my brain also, I'm stuck in 2019, 2020. And I think Parasite kind of just got sort of, in many ways, it just sort of got swept away. It made its big impression at the time. It peaked super fucking hard in that moment. And then it just sort of got washed away by COVID. And lots of people who didn't get to the cinema to see it over that winter watched it at home. I reckon this would be the best picture film that was most watched at home.
I like that theory. I don't know. I thought you were going to say because of COVID, maybe thematically the movies that then follow are different and the ones that key into people are different.
That would be more like my 9/11 argument, but that's not what I'm making here.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. And you didn't say that, so yeah. I'm not going to rebut that.
Right. Because you want to, do you?
No, not at all. I just...
Seems like you want to. Do you want me to say that so that you can rebut it?
No, not at all. I don't want to have that argument because, it's because it's about class, which is sort of timeless. It should be timeless, but also it doesn't seem to have a huge amount of teeth about it. Like, you know, the notions of how the underclass actually battle each other, it makes these little suggestions of, and you're like, oh yeah, that is true. If only, you know, they didn't get pitted against each other or something. But I just, it doesn't really wash fully for me. If I want to watch a movie about class, I'm going to watch Blue Collar,
right?
You know, starring Richard Pryor and Harvey Keitel, directed by Paul Schrader.
Yeah,
that's just me. That's the movie I'm going to watch.
Well, and if it's me, if I want to watch a film where the little guys band together to fight off the bigger evil, then I'll watch Anchorman 2, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, where the multiple news crews band together to fight off whatever it is that they fight in that film. I can't actually remember.
If I want to watch a movie about the little guys banding together against a big giant evil, I'm going to watch The Borrowers.
Right.
You know? Right?
Absolutely big time. Let me bring it back to a reality that I exist in. If I want to watch a film about a bunch of people, including the little guys, getting together, banding together, creating a fellowship of sorts so that they can come together against a bigger Sauron character of types. Then I'll watch Lord of the Rings every day. And you know my favourite thing about Lord of the Rings too? You want to hear? Because I just watched these over Christmas, Adam. You know my favourite thing? Yeah? When the elves show up at Helm's Deep and they say, that guy, can't remember his name, the elf man, he says, there was once a time when elves and men stood proudly together, we're here to honour that accord. You know? Love that shit. Because it makes me think of solidarity. And now, particularly now, that Sean Astin, a.k.a. Samwise Gamgee, is the head of the Stage Actors Guild Union, it just feels more union-y to me.
If I want to watch a movie about, you know, the little guys banding together,
yeah,
and, you know, stripping off their clothes to raise money to kind of live in the North, you know, then it's going to be the full Monty all the way, yeah, for me.
In the North really threw me. I was thinking of like the Arctic, but no, it was just a bit less north than that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like that.
Maybe it's the Midlands. I don't know. Someone might be offended.
It's Manchester, isn't it? Isn't it Manchester? It's near Manchester. Or is it York? No, it's Yorkshire. It's Yorkshire. That's Yorkshire, the North. Yeah. If I want to watch a film about a bunch of little guys banding together to fight off some brutal American grasshoppers, I will watch A Bug's Life and then marvel at the idea that Woody Allen made a similar film that nobody watched, you know? And the relative strength of the Pixar studio.
The film Parasite, though, does have some wonderfully powerful moments.
Like what?
The smell.
Right.
You know, the smell bit is
yeah,
is very evocative when the hero is hiding under the table in a lovely scene and he overhears how his betters speak about him.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's genuine, and that's the thing that really drives him over the edge later on in the movie.
It is.
That's good. I like that bit. That's a good bit.
Smell is very important as well, because I think that there's a bit where they say, you smell it in the subway sometimes. What they mean is poor. That's what the film is trying to tell us they mean. They mean someone who doesn't have the ability to wash in the way that people with lots of money have the ability to wash. You know, they mean the smell of somebody's class. And so I think that's the best way that the film manages to invoke those themes, and it's very, very effective.
Yeah.
But if I want to watch a film about what someone smells like, then I'll watch Lord of the Rings, where they birth the Uruk-hai out of mud.
If I want to watch a movie that's all about how people smell, then I'm going to watch the movie Perfume.
Right.
You know, story of a murderer, whatever the you know, the bit after the ellipsis is. But that's the movie I want to watch about smell.
Right. Yeah, that would be a good one. If I want to watch a movie about smell, then I would watch the 1990s version of Hocus Pocus, because the potions they make in that always have a very kind of cartoonish almost like a pie trail smell.
Pie trail,
you know?
Yeah, I mean, if I want to watch a movie about smell, then I'm obviously going to watch Silence of the Lambs,
right,
just for the line when Jodie Foster says to Sir Anthony Hopkins, as he's known in America, "What did Mick say? I believe he said I can smell your cunt.
Oh, God.
I, however, cannot." One of the finest lines of dialogue ever written. Beautifully delivered.
Mm.
And that's the movie I want to watch when it comes to smell, right, because it's a bit rude.
There's a fantastic YouTube video, which is a compilation or clips from this video game that a group of friends are playing. And I actually don't know. I think it might be one of the Call of Duties or something. It's basically a shooter, but where there's a bonus mode where one of the players can be invisible and have a knife, and the other, and he's the hunter, and the others all have guns and are trying to escape. And the character who is the hunter in this video is very, very good at impersonations, and his friends say to him at the beginning, "Can you be the hunter but as Morgan Freeman?"
Max, can you pretend like you're Morgan Freeman coming to kill me?
Please, please,
please do that.
I can smell you.
It's absolutely lovely. It kills me every time.
Yeah, and then of course later on there's a big river of a big rainstorm, and then the rivers plow down. You know, the rich people live up top. It's very on the nose, a lot of this. And then the water all floods down, and then the poor people down in the bottom, the sewers, you know, spray up shit, and they're sprayed in shit.
It's poo water, not just water.
Oh, yeah, and that's when the family are all sitting around and they're talking, they've clocked that they all smell the same. because the boy says, and they say, oh, we can use different soap. They're chatting about it. And then one of the characters says, well, no, it's not that. It's the smell of where we live. That, I mean, the family dynamic in this movie is wonderful. It's so lovely. They're so upbeat. They're on the make. They're not con artists, but at the same time, they sort of are. And it's really compelling because they never seem malevolent in what they're doing. It's just they're just trying to get by, and it's really nice. It makes the film very, very watchable. I mean, you'd recommend this movie to someone, right? If you're chatting to someone and they haven't seen Parasite, like, how does it come up in conversation? For starters,
it would come up in conversation in the way where I would be like, "You've seen Parasite, right? What did you think of Parasite?" Because
before, but what's teed that up? Why are you saying that?
Oh, they've asked me if. Well, that didn't work. Never mind.
Yeah, something got cut.
That would happen in a conversation about, you know, the best foreign films. I would say I'm not sure that it would come up in a conversation personally. In a conversation with me, I don't think it would come up. When we're talking about just the best films of the last 10 years, maybe it would.
No, but it's something they've said, right? You're at a dinner party or even at pints or whatever, you're having a little snifter of Bacardi, mm-hmm. Conversation has moved between the history and the politics of the day, which is something you're deeply invested in.
Of course.
You're touching on football. You said, I don't want to talk about that.
Sure.
Talking about culture, movies. And they say something, they move on to something, and you say, ooh.
Well, it would really help me if we could act it out. Will you play the other character and I'll play myself?
Okay, so... Okay,
and who are you?
I am your colleague's girlfriend's mate's boyfriend.
Okay, so I'm at a dinner party.
So I guess, what, do you go to dinner parties? Just trying to be evocative of...
No, I've got it. I'm imagining it in my head, yeah.
And there's a lull. You've missed out. Or your friends are having other chats. And I've also missed out as well. But we've actually... It was slow going, but we found some...
You're saying it was slow going with me?
Certainly on my part it was a little bit slow going because I felt like you were too smart for me.
No, absolutely not. If you're sat next to me at dinner party... You're having the time of your life, let me tell you. There's no two ways about it. It doesn't matter. There's no parasite about it. It doesn't matter your class, your background, your level of intellect, okay? I will meet you where you are. We're going to have a fun time. So if we're going to do this scene, start again, right? What you're saying is it's off the back of 5 minutes of zing, zing, zing. You know, if anything, you're a bit tired from having so much fun that you want to calm down a bit and have a chat about some serious cinema, okay? Chow down on a little bit of foreign film because you're all laughed out. You know what I mean? You couldn't possibly laugh anymore. That's what you mean, right?
No, what I mean is I'm not enjoying it at all now. You know, the peppering of whatever this is, it's not working for me.
Well, no, but I wouldn't be doing it if you weren't think enjoying it's working, it. I wouldn't be. No, that's not. No. Hey.
Listen, I can pretend I'm great in these scenarios. Okay, I'm Meg Ryan in When Harry Met Sally. You think you're Billy Crystal. You think you can always bring a woman to orgasm. And I'm saying, oh, well, you know, what are the chances? That's all I'm saying.
Can you show me what it would look like now to be sat next to me having a bad time. Okay, let's do it from the beginning. Okay, we've been sat together. What is it? We're in a situation, let's say it's where they've mixed up the seating arrangement. And to split up the couples. And now I'm here. Oh, hey, how's it going? Nice to meet you.
All right, how's it going?
Yeah, good. I'm Joe. I'm colleagues with old Blankety Blank over there. What about you? How do you know the host?
Oh, it's not a funny story, but it's more like I'm the partner of Jill over there. Ah. And she's best mates with Karen, who's going out with David. And David knows the host, so I don't really know that many people.
Oh, cool, yeah. So yeah, you don't really know that many people here, huh? No,
I don't. That's what I said. I'm Simon, by the way. Sorry, what's your name again?
Joe.
Oh, okay.
You might recognize. Do you like football?
Oh, I love football.
Yeah. Oh, great. Do you ever listen to football podcasts?
Not hugely. I'm sort of familiar. Some of my other, you know, my cohorts do.
Oh, yeah? Anyone you've brought with you here today? David? Does David like football podcasts or...?
I don't know. We talk about
because I do one. I do one. That's why I'm talking about it.
Oh,
it's really popular.
Okay,
people really like it, and people know who I am. That's what. Because sometimes people just know who I am, so that's why I say it, just to get out ahead of it. In case you do, doesn't seem like you do. Maybe you don't. Maybe you do. Maybe you don't. I'm Joe.
Yeah. No, I know. I know a lot about
you. Have you ever heard of TIFO football?
No, I mean, I know a lot about you already, and I've not said anything about myself so far. Right. I feel really...
How do you know? You know a lot about me more than what I've said to you tonight? Or because you came here with... You already knew about me, or you know, just from what I've said to you now, you know about me?
You've said your name repeatedly, and you've said you do a football podcast, and you haven't asked me once beyond about me, about why I'm here.
Well, Simon, do you have a podcast?
No.
No, well then shut the fuck up. Why don't you sit down, Simon? Hmm? You've been sat next to me here. See your little name tag? Yours is there. It says Simon. Mine here. It says Joe Devine does a football podcast. It's a popular one. People know who he is, yeah? The hosts, they know both of us. They've sat you next to me. They want you to have a fun time tonight, okay? So why don't you just sit down, shut the fuck up, and enjoy it. And if I hear that you've told anyone that you had any different than a fantastic time...
What are you going to do?
I'm going to burn your house down. I'm going to kill all your family members.
Right.
Death. Death. You're going to kill me. You're going to fucking kill me. Why? Why? Because I fucked you? You fucked me. You came to my house. You came to me. I got you a car. I brought you your clothes. You took a fucking bubble bath. You wanted it! You wanted it! You came out to me! What was I supposed to do? Well, you lied to me! I tried to help you! I let you in! I was a good guy! I'm a good father! And you just fucking fucked me! What? They're gonna kill me? You're gonna kill me? Why? Why? You should fuck me! What the fuck? Fuck! Fuck! This is fucking insane!
Hey! Do you want to know another?
What?
I was going to
say. Do I want to know another what?
Let me ask you a question, because I feel like what we've done is we've talked about Parasite, and we've spent the whole time justifying why we think it is or will be a movie you forgot, which necessitates us talking about the things that we think are less than about the film. When you look back at the other close to 100 canon episodes of Movies You Forgot podcast. How many of those films that we've covered are better than Parasite?
This is a great question.
So I know the number of canon films that we've covered that I think are better than Parasite. How many do you think there are and what are they?
Well, I've not looked at the list. I imagine it's better, maybe 8, maybe 7 or 8.
I think it's far fewer than that.
Diving Bell and the Butterfly.
I don't think it is. I don't think it is, but I get why you've included it. Yeah, fair enough.
Can I say The American? Probably not. I want to say The American.
You cannot say The American.
I mean, yeah, okay, I won't say The American then. June, maybe? No. LA Confidential.
I haven't included that, but I think that's... ish okay. I really don't think it is. I really don't think it is better.
No.
I think that shootout in the second half is really boring. The whole third act is really shit.
Yeah, no fair dues. The Lives of Others?
I think The Lives of Others is a better film. And interesting that one of the very few foreign movies that we've included here is on this list.
The Lobster. I know you would disagree with that, but I'd say The Lobster.
I don't think so.
Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction I have included. That is the second and last film I included. You could make an argument for The Matrix.
Hang on. Swingers, definitely better movie.
I was close on Boogie Nights. I was close on Boogie Nights.
Dunkirk.
No.
Little Women.
I love that film, but no.
Yeah, do you know what? Very few movies.
So the reason I said that is because I think we should just say, well done, Parasite. Good job. And even though we spent the whole time talking about how we thought there were bits of it that weren't that good, that's really just because there would be no point in talking about all the bits that are so good.
There's nothing in this movie that's not that good. It's a really well-made movie.
Sure.
It's just a movie I've never thought about once since I saw it.
And will never watch again. The only reason I could possibly have watched this would have been if I were required to for this podcast. And now that that's done, there'll be no Movies You Forgot You Rewatched episode with Parasite. I'm banning it now, guaranteed. Never going to see this film again in my life. But well done to everyone involved.
Well, it's like you were slagging off Mighty Supreme because it was a bodily movie. It affected you bodily. And like that was your big slam on Marty. And this is your slam on the Parasite.
Another big moments movie as well, right? It's a hot moment movie, which I think will fade over time.
Yeah, it's already fading. Can't remember a thing about Marty Supreme.
Anyway, do you want to play the box office game?
Yeah, let's play the box office game.
Okay, this is the box office game for the film Parasite from 2019. Now, budget brackets estimated, pour favor. What do you think, Adam? What does Bong Joon-ho get to spend on a little movie about social ideas? Also, we didn't talk about Bong Joon-ho, but another time.
I mean, have you seen much else of Bong Joon-ho?
I don't know, have I?
Have you seen Snowpiercer?
I've seen...
the TV show.
Yes, I believe I have. I've definitely seen the TV show, but I think I've seen the film Snowpiercer. And I thought, not a jot on the TV show with Sean Bean. Love the TV show with Sean Bean.
Yeah, I didn't particularly like the film. That was raved about. It was kind of it was very much the kind of smaller version of Parasite. Everyone was jizzing over Snowpiercer. Class on a train. Oh, would you believe it? Tilda Swinton being very silly.
It was one of the Chris's, wasn't it?
Yeah, Chris Evans is in it.
Chris Evans, yeah.
I don't know. Just it's very, very silly.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I generally don't think I like many or any Bong Joon-ho movies. I think I quite liked Memories of a Murder, but I can't remember anything about it. That's his most critically acclaimed flick, I'd say, and that's the one you play to other cineasts to prove that you haven't made a bro error. Oh, but of course I was familiar with Bong Joon-ho in the Memories of a Murder.
You were about to guess the budget brackets estimated for 2019's Parasite by Bong Joon-ho.
I don't know the ins and outs of the Korean movie business. $15 million?
Well, it is in dollars. So there's your first tick. And your second, not very far off. It was $11.4 million. Outside the 10%, of course. But the risk is always there when you're playing with such low volume. Now, let's do opening weekend US and Canada. Of course, you'll know it released on October the 13th, 2019, which is, what will we say, 4 months away from the Oscars?
Yeah, it's America. I feel like it was probably just going to be in your New Yorks and your Los Angeleses, Austin, Texas, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And these kind of foreign flicks, they don't open boffo.
No, sure.
So like 90 grand?
393 grand.
I was going to say 300 and I thought that was too high. Pathetic. Oh, fine.
Right.
390 grand. Nice.
Yeah, 393. Pretty impressive stuff. Now, of course, the 10x rule goes out the window here, doesn't it? You can explain why when you guess gross worldwide.
Yeah, it's always out the window for me. It's not something I've got any interest in. As a rule.
Wouldn't say so. I'd say you've used it before, but not a big deal or anything. It's fine. Go on.
But 60 million?
Would it surprise you if I said that wasn't true?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Right. It's 262 million.
Wow.
That's pretty crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, and we've got the brass neck to call this a movie you forgot, when everyone clearly liked it. But that's even though that's not the criteria of what the show is. Wow. Yeah, no, that's really... That is really big. It really hit big.
When was the last time you heard from your father?
Daddy,
right, after that rather humbling experience of the box office game, should we do the bit in the show where one of us reads out a list of movies they forgot, with a view to catching out the other one on a movie they forgot to pick next week's episode?
I'd love to do that.
I cheated with Parasite because I knew I could get you on it, and I did want to watch it. I played the Parasite card. We've done Parasite. I've still not bested your Pirates of the Caribbean pants pulling down moment. You've set the bar. Hit me.
I don't think I'm going to be besting that today. In fact, my list is sort of half full of movies I know I can get you on because I've been listening to the Ticket Stubs episodes in which you just openly say, Joe could get me on this film. So there's a few in here that are safeties should they be required. I'll start with something a little more unsafe.
What can I say? 2001, 2001 is littered. That year, littered with movies you forgot. That's lousy with them.
It's fat stacks, isn't it? Actually, I'm going to start with... I want to watch this, and you called it a Forgot You Forgot. And it wasn't 2001, it was 2000. It was the spiritual follow-up to Braveheart. It was Mel Gibson's The Patriot, which you called a movie you forgot on this very podcast.
Yeah, I was talking about, the royal you.
Oh, so you personally didn't forget it?
No, I absolutely did.
Great, perfect.
I don't want... It's just a... It's just fucking shit that you want to watch this.